Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Martin Smith is on a phone line. He's a correspondent for Frontline, and the piece that you're going to be able to see is called The Pension Gamble, which premieres tomorrow night on PBS and is very relevant to people in Illinois, I would say, actually in a lot of states. But, boy, he could do the whole episode about what happens in Illinois. Martin, this is John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, John.
So tell me a little bit about this. It's called The Pension Gamble. What is The Pension Gamble?
First of all, you're absolutely right. We could have come to Illinois to do this. We looked at Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey. We settled on Kentucky. There was no reason telling the story over and over again, and so we dug down deeper in one place. It's a story happening in a lot of states. About half of the states don't have nearly enough money to meet the pension promises that they've made to the state workers, whether it's police or firefighters or medical workers
teachers.
Yeah.
In fact, one of your first interviews is with a school teacher down there, and then you interview, and this may focus on Kentucky, but really, this is the Illinois story, too. They interview firefighters and police officers, and they say, look, the reason we went into this line of work is so that we knew that we would have insurance for life, that my wife would have insurance for life, that I could retire and have a nice existence. I ain't going to get rich doing this, but if I do this, I'm set. That's kind of the model for everybody, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And these workers put away or had a mandatory withdrawal taken from their paychecks and put into a fund. What happened on the other side is that the state decided it didn't want to raise taxes, but it wanted to pay its bills. So it took money that was supposed to go into the pension pot and used it for other purposes.
Martin, that's the story you're telling in Kentucky, right? Because that's exactly what happened in here in Illinois. You're telling me that this
is happening all over the country. It's happening all over the country. And we've got something on the order of several trillion dollars of promises made to workers that the states in the future will not be able to make. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen somewhere between 3 years and 30 years, but it's going to happen, and ordinary taxpayers are going to have to pony up the money somehow, so everybody is affected by this.
Is it fair to be critical of the people receiving the pensions? Maybe, let me put it this way, is it fair to ask them to compromise on their side? That's what they had been always promised.
Well, it's a promise. It's a contract. It's called an inviolable contract. At least those are the words they use in Kentucky. And people take these jobs knowing that they're not going to make the kind of money they might make somewhere else. But teachers, for instance, don't qualify for Social Security in many states.
Right.
And that's true in Kentucky.
And they don't pay into it
either. The pension is all they have.
Yeah. So this is happening in Illinois. It's happening in Kentucky. It's happening in Rhode Island, et cetera. Do any of these states, I know the answer to this, have laws that forbid the states from using that money? It should have been saved all along for pension payments. How is it that they allowed somebody to raid the kitty?
Well, it was allowed. The state legislators and the governor shorted the pension fund. Now, there were they took some silly projections about what money would be earned in the markets, and it was wildly more than what they got, and so that contributed as well to what they had, and it made the pension all the more underfunded.
Right.
They've got one pension in Kentucky that's only 13% funded, and they predict within 3 years it'll be insolvent.
What happens then?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, the state can find some money somewhere else, raise taxes, or punish somebody else. I mean, already they're trying to fix the system for the teachers, but at the same time, they're passing budgets that cut aid to education, cut, you know, money for new books and new facilities. So, you know, one way or the other, somebody's got to pay, or the teachers or the firefighters are going to have to take a hit. Already they're saying that new hires, new teachers, new firefighters, new police are not going to have a defined benefit pension. They're going to give them this 401k style plan that's a little bit better than your 401k or mine, but not as good as the defined benefit pension plan.
It's funny, isn't it? Because there are times where those of us who are trying to manage a retirement someday on Social Security and a 401k wish we had the pension. And there are other times where you're glad that you have the 401k because maybe it's outperforming a pension. Of late, as I get closer to retirement age, the more I wish I had the groovy pension that, say, my sister had. Again, nobody's getting rich, but she absolutely knows what she's going to get when she retires. And it's comfortable.
Yeah, it's a little easier to plan when you know what you're going to get. And, you know, there's a lot of people who say once we're through this, we're at the somewhere near the end of a 9-year bull market run. And when that runs out, you know, there's a lot of people who say that, I mean, a lot of financial experts who say that we're not going to have the kind of returns we've been looking at over the last 10 or 20 years. And so these plans are not going to do as well. But the defined benefit program, at least you knew what you were going to get. And they just feel that they've been betrayed because they've made their contributions. But it's the state that's dug the hole. And what's happened, too, is they've gone to Wall Street and chased shiny objects in the form of fancy, not very transparent, high-fee alternative investments like hedge funds or private equity.
Right.
And that hasn't turned out so well either.
Couple of calls from a couple of listeners. We'll start with Prudence. You're on WGN. Hi, Prudence. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I work from 1956 to 62. I'm 80 now, and I paid into Social Security. And then I got married, and in those days, most wives didn't work, and then had four kids. And then went back to college, got a school social work degree at the age of 51, began working, and worked 17 years. And in Illinois, you can only get one-third of your own Social Security and get your TRS that I paid into, hoping that they would invest and not spend. You can get nothing in Illinois of your spouse's Social Security, and my husband made over $150,000, so it would have been better, but legally you can't even get it. And I did check out to see whether my pension after 17 years would be more or less than my wife's share or my ex-wife's share of his Social Security, and my pension was better. So, I mean, I made a big major decision when I went on TRS. That's my income, and I don't know if they take it away or it goes bankrupt, whether I can go back and say, hey, remember the 30 years I was married, can I go back on
Social Security,
a wife's portion of the Social Security?
Yeah, let's let him respond to that. Go ahead, Martin.
Well, that's a very sad, that's a tale I've heard over and over again. We did a program several years back called The Retirement Gamble about the private sector and people's 401ks, and they just haven't worked out well for people. And like you say, you would have done better on the pension. And you made a huge decision, and I'm sorry to hear what you report.
Yeah, but, we need to honor that. I mean, I understand the need to honor it, but somebody's going to get screwed here. Maybe everybody should get screwed a little bit. Again, this is a person who doesn't have a pension and is trying to find a way out. This is why I won't get elected governor of Illinois, Martin, because...
Yes, but their promises were made, and there are states that have prudently invested the money that's been entrusted to them.
Yeah.
And there are other states that have not. And you have to take a hard look at places like Nevada, where basically they've invested in a lot of low-fee, transparent index funds and done much better.
Wisconsin is doing well.
Some of these other investments.
Yeah, Wisconsin, somebody just told me, 97% funded. They're in better shape than we are.
Yeah, so you have to look. What did they do right? What did Illinois, Connecticut, New Jersey, Kentucky do wrong? And you know, you would hope we can learn. Now, the problem is, this is like a situation where you only paid some of your mortgage for the last 10 or 20 years. And now you're paying your full mortgage, but you're not paying the back, what you didn't pay. And that's earned interest for the bank. And so it's very hard to keep up or to catch up once you've made these bad decisions.
Can anybody throw up their hands and go bankrupt? Sorry, don't have it. And then what would the consequences of that be?
States are in a position where they have to balance a budget. They're not like the federal government in Washington that can print money and can sell, you know, big loads of debt to China or whoever else. So the states are going to face bankruptcy, and at some point there may be a federal bailout, but that's going to cost everybody money. Yeah. And unfortunately, the mistakes made by a few are going to is going to come to all of us.
It's really well told. It's also very understandable, and it is today. Martin Smith's pension gamble is on Frontline tomorrow night. Good reporting, Martin. We appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thank you, John, for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing the work.